Welcome to the Wizards of Dapps podcast, where we interview the creators of various decentralized applications in the Web3 ecosystem. We learn about how they are built and the insights that come from shipping. And we're your co-hosts. I'm Peter.
And I'm Bethany. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. Today we're sitting down with Stefan from Sight. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Stefan, you're building a Sight, right? A prediction market. Before we dive into, you know, what is Sight and how it works, right? Let's kind of like, I'd love to dive into, you know, how, I guess, prediction markets work and how we should think about them, right? Even though we're talking about the prediction markets in the context of like blockchain, right? They do exist, you know, outside in the world for a very long time, right?
Yeah, that's true. So you can think about prediction markets as markets for information. What you essentially do with prediction markets is you make the outcomes of future events tradable, and the price, like you can basically trade those as assets in markets, and the price for those assets on the market, this price relates to the probability of this outcome. And yeah, if you think about prediction markets, they existed or they exist already for a very long time, also outside of blockchain. And yeah, one of the most prominent examples for prediction markets is a website called Betfair, which is a sports betting website where you can bet on all kinds of sport events, but you can also bet on political events. And they have markets for the US election. They have a market on the Trump impeachment. And if I want to know how likely this is actually going to happen, then my source of information is I go to aggregators that aggregate information across those different prediction markets into one, because I see those as the most reliable information. And the reason why I think it's the most reliable information is because here people have something at stake. Yeah? If you want to participate in a prediction market, what you essentially do is you buy those outcomes that you believe are representing the right outcomes. If I believe Trump will be reelected, then I buy the outcome Trump will be reelected on the market. And this only turns into a profit for me in case this actually happens. So I actually have here money at stake. And yeah, this is a much more reliable information.
I'm just like looking at this article right now, right? Where it's like, you know, Betfair made nearly, you know, £500 million in early this year, in end of Q1 or Q2, or something like that. The simplified, the dumbed down version of what prediction market is, it's really just like coordinated facts. Blockchain allows you to coordinate various different things. With DAOs, it's like money, social capital, and labor. Money markets, it's coordination of programmable money. Would it be fair to say that, you know, prediction markets are the coordination of information and facts, you know, where they're priced?
I would say they just create this marketplace for information, where if you disagree, if you have information which is not yet incorporated in the market price, you just have an incentive to participate and shift the price of the market towards your own prediction. Because, you know, like everything that deviates from the market price, which ultimately is the right outcome, is a profit for you. And the reason why this is super exciting in the context of blockchain is because right now, we have already prediction markets, but they are siloed into websites. And that's why also the information is kind of siloed into different markets right now. The aggregators try to help to basically even this out and give you a more global view. But of course, it would be much better if you just have one layer where you have one globally accessible market where everyone can participate, because then you would basically aggregate the global knowledge for one market into exactly one number, which is the price, the global price for this outcome. And that's hopefully something that we can achieve with blockchain. And that's why people are so excited of running prediction markets on blockchain.
Would you say that's like Gnosis's goal of Sight, you know, to kind of like monopolize the market for prediction markets around the world? I mean, to put it bluntly, your goal is to not become an evil empire.
No, absolutely not. Gnosis Sight, maybe let's talk about Gnosis Sight. What is actually Gnosis Sight? So Sight essentially is a prediction market which runs on Ethereum. However, it's a regulated prediction market. Yeah, it's like something that is officially run by Gnosis, a Gnosis company. It's regulated in Gibraltar. And with this regulation, there come also some constraints in terms of how users can participate. It's because of that not globally accessible. Like if you want to trade off via our interface, you have to go through KYC. And right now, not everyone globally is allowed to participate. So, for example, unfortunately, US citizens right now cannot participate. But there are also big advantages coming with regulation. I think right now people see regulation more like a threat, like it could reduce all the advantages that we have with decentralization. But there is still, I would say, there's still many trade-offs. So I think with decentralization, you have also many shortcomings in terms of how you can promote a product, how you can give support for a product, and how you can advertise a product. Basically, I think there will be two different types of prediction markets in the end. Yeah, on the one hand, you have markets which are fully decentralized, more like the Augur approach. And then you have markets which are, let's say, semi-decentralized, non-custodial. Also, Site is a non-custodial market, meaning that Site, like us, we never have control over users' money. However, there are procedures in place to ensure that you cannot launder your money over this prediction market.
Augur's launched before. You know, we've seen other prediction markets like Helena, you know, also run and, I guess, operate. What have you taken from the launch of the other prediction markets in space, right? And why do you think we haven't seen one really hit its stride and, you know, capture a large audience or user base, even though, you know, in Web2, they're clearly viable businesses?
Of course, there's many assumptions on why prediction markets haven't taken off yet. I think regarding Augur and others that basically try to work on top of Augur, what we see is that if you look at the markets that exist, they have a big spread. Yeah, so there's like, if you want to buy one of those outcomes, you see the difference between the prices of the outcomes is really significant, and users will have to pay the spread in order to participate in those markets. So they have to, which essentially also can be seen as kind of a fee that you have to pay. So it makes trading really expensive, and it makes it prohibitively expensive. Yeah, so the problem is right now on Augur, there is no one really doing market making. Yeah, so it's really difficult to find basically someone who takes the other side of your bet. And this prevents bigger adoption. I think that's from our perspective, I guess, the number one core problem of Augur right now. And the way how we try to mitigate this problem inside is by using a different market mechanism. So in Augur itself, they implemented an on-chain order book, which is really expensive to use and suffers from this problem that there is right now a huge spread between different outcomes. Though there have been like others trying to do the same, like Veil or Guesser, and they do off-chain orders. I think both of them use 0x, but they still have the same problem that no one really does market making on them. With Site, we take a totally different approach. Instead of using a regular order book, what we apply is an automated market maker. Yeah, so I guess you guys have heard about Uniswap. So Uniswap is also an automated market maker. And the great thing about Uniswap is that at any point of time, you can trade. Right? So at any point of time, there's liquidity to convert one token into the other. And now you can think about Uniswap applying the same concept, but for prediction markets. And in prediction markets, we trade outcomes, right? And these outcomes, they are also tokens. If you have, let's say, like a prediction market on will Trump be reelected, then there are two outcomes, yes and no. And essentially, you could set up a Uniswap market where you fund the Uniswap market with the yes and no tokens. And then at any point of time, someone could trade one for the other. And so this concept of an automated market maker is also not new. So there's been research going on for a very long time. And the most prominent researcher for prediction markets is Robin Hansen. And he came up with a concept that's called LMSR market maker. It's a logarithmic market scoring rule market maker, which we implemented as a smart contract on Ethereum. And we basically provide liquidity to this market maker. And by doing this, we give anyone at any point of time the possibility to trade against this market maker, and you don't have to wait for someone else to take the other side, because this market maker always takes the other side. And by doing so, you basically shift also the price for those outcomes. And you basically, if you disagree with the price of the market maker, then you just buy as many tokens from the market maker until the market maker basically reflects your own belief. And yeah, that's why, so we started very small. We started with very few markets and we limited access to those markets.
How did you determine the initial markets that you wanted to go with?
So there was a long discussion also with regulators in how you can set up the first markets. Yeah, so we basically agreed on starting with markets around crypto events, because right now we feel we kind of still live in our own bubble, and the early adopters all obviously in the Ethereum ecosystem as well. So if you want to create interesting markets, then they should be about events which are relevant for this community. And yeah, right now we have quite a few markets around Ethereum already. So one that we just created is the Istanbul hard fork, if it will be activated before December 6th. Yeah, that's just something where people, like if there's someone who has knowledge that this is not going to happen because, I don't know, there's something, I don't know, some flaw that still has to be ironed out before, then they could also trade on this market and then the market would reflect this in the market price. And I think it's like super interesting to use prediction markets also to signal. So we have like super controversial topics, obviously, in Ethereum all the time. Like ProcPow is one of those, I guess, if ProcPow should be applied or not. So there could be like one interesting market could be, will ProcPow be included in one of the next hard forks? And people could signal if they think this is a good idea or not by just trading on this market. For this example of a ProcPow, so if you are against ProcPow, you would have the incentive to basically buy the node will not be included outcome.
Yeah, or when ETH 2.0 phase zero will start.
Not if it will start, but how much Ether will be in the contract, on the deposit contract. So how much Ether will be committed to be to the Beacon chain until, I think, end of January. That's the market that we want to create. And I think that's super interesting because I feel that's something that's super controversial, but it hasn't surfaced that much yet because people still think it's kind of far away and I think they're not yet really sure about the consequences. So I think there will be quite some discussions going on in the near future and this market will be a strong signal. And I feel also those markets can ultimately also help the community to reflect on decisions, because right now it's like always people just arguing over different channels. But there's not really anything objective in terms of like how significant is actually the information. And if you have a prediction market, which clearly signals that something should not be included, that has also a lot of money at stake, then this is a very strong signal that can be could be also used within the Ethereum community as one metric to take into account when making decisions.
It's great for bets, which are, you know, controversial. Right, and in ones which you think you have like asymmetric information advantages in, I guess.
The thing is, like, the prediction market should surface those, right? So ultimately, like, there is insider information about the different events for sure, but those prediction markets basically turn this into public good, because if people participate in the market, they shift the public, like, they shift the market price, which is accessible to everyone, and by doing so, this information becomes public.
What do you think Site's challenges are, right? Or what it wants to achieve, you know, within like, you know, a month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, I guess. I mean, that's even so far away from crypto, right? I don't even have plans a quarter ahead, let alone months, 2 months ahead. But, you know, what are Site's kind of goals in that time frame, right?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest challenge we face is that we, on the one hand, we have a product which runs on blockchain and comes with downsides of blockchain in terms of you have to pay gas costs and so on. And then on the other hand, you have also the downsides of being regulated, which is, you know, you have to go through KYC and so on. And I think that's still like two trade-offs, which if you combine them, they make adoption really hard. So the goal for us is to make it as accessible as possible. And to do so, we basically will improve the onboarding experience, including KYC. So that's kind of like just working on onboarding and making it more accessible. I think then it's also super interesting for us to discover what are other interesting markets, even beyond crypto. So right now we focus on crypto, but the goal of Site is to have a bigger offering. Yeah, so crypto is the first niche you want to start with. Yeah. But then, of course, like super interesting to do political events. And that's something we, of course, are also super excited about. I think US elections is obviously probably the most important and most interesting prediction market. And in the past, there was another company offering prediction market called Intrade, and they basically did political markets, and their markets, like the most popular ones, were always US elections. So that's something we prepare for. And yeah, that's something I think can be really huge. And again, like us, like site, we basically can offer something where the user, like it's a non-custodial product, but we can offer all the like customer service and support that any regulated business can offer. And I think if we talk about adoption, then we still are in our bubble where we assume everything. Like we are early adopters of many dApps and we understand many concepts. But if you look into the broader space, then of course, most people have no knowledge about many of the concepts that we apply, and they don't really have access to those dApps yet. And for those offerings, like being able to offer customer support and being able to advertise this product is super important.
These markets allow you to basically make asymmetric information a public good, right? Within small communities, perhaps, such as crypto. And, you know, perhaps, you know, even provide a market for public elections to be predicted or betted on, right? What are some other use cases you kind of like might foresee like coming from prediction markets, right?
If you think again, like about prediction markets in a more generic way, then again, like you basically tokenize outcomes.
Yeah, it's just betting, right?
Yeah, it's like you just tokenize. I would say it's more generic than betting. Like betting is the one use case that everyone kind of understands.
Sure.
But in the end, and that's where we come to something that we call conditional tokens. Yeah, you basically just create assets, which at some point in the future, based on a future event, will have a certain value, and then this won't change anymore. Yeah, so we call this concept conditional tokens. And the mechanism is really simple. Yeah, in a conditional token, what you do is you register an event. Let's say Trump will be reelected. And then what you can do is you can deposit one collateral token, let's say DAI. Yeah, you deposit one DAI into this. And then this conditional token contract will give you two assets in return, the yes token and the no token. And now those tokens, they can be traded. Like you can do whatever you want with them. But the property that those tokens have is at any point of time, you can take those two tokens, send them back to the contract, and then get the DAI out again. But what you can also do is you can just keep the token that you believe represents the right outcome, and then you can sell the other token on the market, and you get some money for this. And assuming that your token, let's say you said, yes, Trump will be reelected, in case this actually happens, then you can send the yes token back to the conditional token contract, will pay you out one DAI, and the other token is worthless. So essentially, you make a profit based on the no token that you were selling on the market. That's just a very generic concept. And if you think about prediction markets, then like one way you could also see it to incentivize people to do something. I could create a bounty on will there be a certain EIP implemented for the next Ethereum hard fork.
Or even an event like, you know, what will be the verdict of like Virgil Griffith versus the United States?
Yeah, I think that would be a tough one, but
yeah.
Theoretically, you could create an incentive market for people to free Virgil, I guess. But let's stick to the example.
Yeah, so
the idea would be, I want to basically have someone else implementing this ERP for the next hard fork. Then I could create an incentive by creating a prediction market. I create those conditional tokens, and I would, let's say, convert 1,000 DAI into those yes and no tokens. And what I would do is I would basically keep the no tokens, assuming it will not be implemented, then I can keep the no tokens and I can send, if it doesn't happen, then I can send the no tokens back and get my DAI back. But I can use the yes tokens to give them to those who actually think they can make it happen. Because then they can, once they actually make it happen, they can go to the conditional tokens contract and get their payout in DAI. If you compare this to like traditional bounties, the big advantage is that they already have a promise that they can trade even before they achieve the goal, right? So if you are a company and saying, yeah, I am going to implement this ERP, then usually a bounty is paid out at the end or like incremental milestones would be the best, but usually it's actually paid out in the end. So you work a lot until you finally reach the goal and then you get your payout. And here you would have basically already something that you could use to pay other people, or like basically that you could trade already, where the value of this would relate to the belief that you can actually implement this. And yeah, I think that's also a super exciting use case. But there are also many others, and that's why we decided to not call this contract prediction market contract, but just conditional token contract.
I guess if you have like a range of markets, right, which are really just individual bounties, and you know that allows you to bet on the success of these contributors.
Exactly.
You know, their reputation and track record, right? You know, like, I know this team did a super shit job, you know, on another project. I'm going to bet against them. I think they're going to fail or not complete it within this time period, right?
Right. And by doing so, you even create a bigger incentive for them to succeed.
Right. Exactly. Even better, right? They know it's like if they fail, they'll just dig themselves a deeper hole and get even less money and or lose a ton of money, right? Perhaps.
Yeah, so that's super interesting. I want to mention one other application, which is signaling. So we're already saying like, yeah, you can basically make a huge bet on one outcome. And by doing so, you kind of signal on the market that you have, that you believe something will happen or not. One thing you could also do, let's go back to the ERP discussion. So you could do something that we call conditional trade. So let's say you have a prediction market on, will this ERP be implemented in the next hard fork? And for you as a company, it's super important to have the ERP implemented. Then you could make a statement that could be, we are going to invest, let's say, 1 million DAI into Ether. So we basically buy more Ether under the assumption that core developers and the Ether community will include a certain ERP into the next hard fork. And the way how you could do this is, so you have this market, right, with ERP be included into the next hard fork. And now you have two markets, one traded on DAI and the other traded in Ether. And now you could basically sell, like you invest the DAI into this conditional token and you get the yes and the no token, where you know the yes token will be able to be redeemable for DAI in case this happens. And then you use those yes tokens, and what you do is you buy Ether tokens under the condition that this is being implemented. So you basically already do a trade where you are buying Ether with DAI, but this trade only is realized in case the condition that this ERP is implemented actually is true. And by doing so, you can create a very strong signal, obviously, that you already did a trade, but this trade, like you only invest into Ether in case there's certain actions are being taken.
Yeah, I like it. It's like conditional swing trades.
There's a lot of things you can do with this.
And obviously
that's why we want to keep it generic and just want to encourage everyone to build different use cases, build bounties around this, build conditional trades around this, use it for signaling, use it to aggregate information. I think there are many more use cases we haven't even thought of. I don't even want to talk about Futaki, but there's like many more things you can do with prediction markets.
Will Gnosis be, you know, offering bets on the other side of the markets for certain areas?
Well, we would love to offer everything, of course, everything that's interesting that can actually add value. Mm. But I think for the foreseeable future, we really focus on crypto and on political events.
I have a question about the decision to focus on political events. So the whole thing is getting information, and with the KYC, anyone in the US can't vote. So do you have like a history on this other one that was successful in the political markets? Were they also not allowing U.S. citizens to vote? Because I feel like U.S. citizens are the ones that have the most insight, yet they're the ones that can't participate because of the restrictions in place.
So they actually offered also their prediction markets within U.S., but the regulatory landscape has changed a bit. The goal is to make it accessible everywhere. Site is also, I would say, a product where we want to show that prediction markets actually create value. yeah, it's not only about running a business, but it's also, I think we still have to put effort in convincing everyone that this is a tool that can actually create value for society, you know, so where we can make information visible that otherwise is hidden, that is useful for everyone to know. Once people see, and of course, the first community we still have to convince is the crypto community. Pretty much still haven't taken off, even though that's the people in this community, I guess, are the biggest fanboys of prediction markets. And so we first have to really convince here the community that they can actually create a lot of value. And then if we can showcase that they create also value outside of just crypto
markets.
It would
be interesting if you could actually create a market for, say, pollution, right? CO2 emissions for entire nations.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So everyone gets a dividend, essentially, if the country hits it.
Politicians, they could argue way less against climate change not going to happen if there's a market which will say, like, the temperature will rise above 2% and there is, like, millions and millions of dollars betting on yes. I wanted to see Trump putting his personal money on the other side to clearly state that this is
right.
Not going to happen, right? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually use those from to create extremely strong signals. And
yeah.
At this point, we can hopefully convince people that this is useful. And then it's much easier also, of course, to convince regulators that this is useful and that you should be able to offer this outside, like also maybe even within the United States.
Just trying to communicate how that value can be beneficial. I mean, obviously it's beneficial, but just communicating that. You mentioned before just trying to like make this maybe be the one that takes off. Do you have like a marketing strategy in place already that you want to discuss?
Yeah. So we are experimenting. I think the markets that are good, in my opinion, are, of course, markets about controversial topics. And so I think, yeah, that's why I think a proc power market would be super interesting. I think also, again, like this market about how much Ether will be converted into beacon chain Ether is super interesting because I think the Ethereum community hasn't realized yet that this could also divide the community. People are not aware yet what the real consequences are. And so I think this market can become super interesting.
I think I'd be really interested in seeing this happen in the next like three to couple months, right? Where it's like either, I mean, yes, prediction markets can create impact, right? But I think what will get a lot of people's attention in the crypto community is if a prediction market makes an outrageously amount of, godly amount of money for a small, very small group of people, right? That kicks the greed into play. Well, as we think about it, yes, there's economic influences, but TLDR, it's really about greed, right? If you can actually like show that these prediction markets are large coordinating forces of a lot of capital and value, right? Then my gut sense is that, you know, people will kind of like look at it.
I would say like it's maybe not. I mean, I also want to mention prediction markets are a zero-sum game. So if someone's winning, someone else is losing. I guess what would be really good to see is that prediction markets have a lot of trading volume, because then it means there's a lot of people who have knowledge about something or think they have knowledge about something and participate.
Yeah.
And then it's much more likely that the market price of this market is actually relevant, because there's enough incentive for people who believe they have some insights to participate. And then this is actually reliable information.
Do you think you will ever hit 100 episodes of Wizards of Dapps?
You should definitely make a prediction market on that.
Do you think yes or no?
So this would be an incentive market, right? So I would bet on no. So you guys are just continuing until you get the bounty.
We should do that.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, we should create a market on that. I think there I also would like to mention, so again, like we are quite restricted in terms of what kind of markets we can currently offer inside. But of course, it's also super interesting to have fully decentralized markets, because then anyone can create a market and there's no limitation in terms of accessing it. Another team is working also on an application on top of the conditional tokens framework, and they basically build something very similar, but with the difference that it works fully decentralized. Interface is decentralized. It is using actually something very similar to Uniswap. It's using the same formula used in Uniswap for the market makers, so people can also crowdfund those markets. The markets are resolved not by Gnosis, but they are resolved using a decentralized oracle. So it's like fully decentralized. It always has liquidity. Anyone can create a market and anyone can participate in contributing funding to those market makers. And eventually also get a return of their investment if there's enough trading activity. That's something can be very complementary to Site and allow anyone to create any kind of markets, including this market, where we could incentivize you to do 100 episodes.
Yeah, I would just go around challenging other podcasters. Just like, hey, I don't think you're doing too well. I think you're lazy and you're not on time. And I think, no one cares about what you're creating. I'm betting against you. Challenge accepted.
I like that idea.
Fight using prediction markets, not with real violence. That'd be a great disruption, wouldn't it? I think that's all the questions that we do have for you right now. But, is there anything else you want to talk about?
So, I think we are still very early with prediction markets. And Site just basically started. I think most people haven't tried it out yet. So I want to encourage everyone who's not from US, to go to the website site.pm, like prediction markets, and try this KYC process and try to bet on or like to participate in the prediction market that are currently live. We are continuously adding new markets. We are very happy to get any kind of feedback. Also ideas about new kind of markets you're interested in. We are happy to try this out. And then I hope we can really create some useful markets and useful product that can help also the Ethereum community to some extent to aggregate information and make better decisions.
Yeah, awesome. And just for everyone again, that's site.pm, the spelling of it. And we'll put that in the description of this episode. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for coming on board.
Thank you for inviting me.
This has been Wizard of Dapps. I'll talk to you next week.
If you enjoyed what you listened to and are interested in supporting this podcast, then please follow us on Twitter at Wizard of Dapps. The show notes will be on our website, and if you want to continue the conversation, join our Telegram group. All links will be in the episode description. Thanks for listening.